Megan Rapinoe, Brittany Griner, Candace Parker, all very well-known female athletes who in recent times were at the top of their sporting categories, yet have also been relentlessly criticized by sports fans. And why is that? Men? The patriarchy? Or maybe it's because they demonstrate dislikable traits on an immense level. And sure, there's some hatefulness thrown their way due to their gender alone. But if you stop and think about it, it becomes clearly evident that gender cannot be the only or main reason for hate being thrown their way, as the predominantly male-viewing sports audience has intensely supported and got behind countless female athletes in the past, and still does so today. So, what are these dislikable traits that some female athletes demonstrate which put off so many sports fans? And after thinking about it, it became obvious that the primary ingredients that make up them being so unlikable is entitlement, arrogance, being detached from a business reality, lying, or contriving a false victimhood status, which overall makes them tremendously unlikable. Again, they're female sports stars that don't display these traits, and in turn, they're well-liked. But ultimately, many female sports stars display some or all of these dislikable traits. In fact, they're the same traits that make some male athletes greatly disliked as well. Alright, so one major common flaw of disliked female athletes is an entitled, arrogant mentality. This often manifests through them demanding the wider sports world automatically praise and enjoy their sport, but not wanting to do the work to achieve that result. This is continually seen by WNBA stars who criticize sports fans for not inherently liking their game and watching it for what it is. But what it is, is 40 minutes of underhanded layups. And the sports world has been telling that league for 30 years that that's simply not entertaining. And instead of listening to the sports world and adjusting their game to make it more exciting and palatable to a wider audience, something the NBA, by the way, has done many times, WNBA players simply arrogantly chastise potential fans for even mentioning this fact.
Do you think that the game will get more watched if the rims are a little bit shorter? And so, like, what females can, like, for guys, it's something when you see somebody get dunked on.
I'm very glad you asked this, because this is probably one of the most offensive questions you can ask a WNBA player. Now I have to relearn the game to appease people who don't want to watch it for what it is.
In other words, WNBA players feel entitled to be crowned as this entertaining league without earning it. And having an entitled attitude is not a gendered concept, as it also pushes fans away from male athletes. For example, many believed LeBron James was displaying a high sense of entitlement in 2011, when after joining a super team and then losing in the NBA Finals that year, was still acting as if he should be looked at as an all-time great player, without yet doing anything to earn that distinction. This entitled attitude started to push even his most adamant supporters away.
There's something about LeBron James that's really starting to alarm me. You got titles, King James, Chosen One. None of the great guys, you know, they shun all of that until they won a championship. It's like he wants to be crowned with no rings. I'm tired of this man being celebrated. For what? We know you're great. How about winning?
But then LeBron won the next two championships and earned the right to be looked at as an all-time great player. Female athletes must do the same. Stop acting as if you're entitled to fans and do what it takes to win them over. The next major dislikable trait, which is often connected to entitlement, is being completely devoid of a business understanding. This usually presents itself when female athletes ask for higher salaries when it makes zero sense. Most recently, this has been seen by the US Women's National Soccer Team, with Megan Rapinoe being the figurehead. Importantly though, this is not a trait displayed by beloved female athletes, such as prime Ronda Rousey or the most successful woman in race car history, Danica Patrick. Danica understood business was the key word in the phrase sports entertainment business, saying basically, what drives salary is demand and interest. Salary is based on the amount of views your sports brings in, as the money comes from ad revenue and sponsorships. In other words, less views equals less money. Likewise, when Rhonda was asked about pay disparities, she said this.
I think that how much you get paid should have something to do with how much money you bring in. I'm the highest paid fighter, not because Dana and Lorenzo wanted to do something nice for the ladies. They do it because I bring in the highest numbers. They do it because I make them the most money. And I think that the money that they make should be proportionate to the money that they bring in.
So not only were these women at the time the best among their gender in their sport, but they also understood how the sports entertainment business worked. And these two things combined made them extremely likable and popular. Compare this to some female athletes who demand higher salaries, even though they clearly don't bring in the revenue to justify a salary increase. In fact, some of the athletes demanding more money compete in leagues that wouldn't even exist without subsidies. WNBA and National Women's Soccer League, I see you. Yet they still complain about only receiving a six-figure salary, when in reality, it could be closer to zero.
Survey says.
And since most sports fans live in reality, they find these claims completely absurd, and it ultimately puts them off and makes them dislike these complaining players. Even more dislikable is when female athletes lie about being underpaid due to their own bad business decisions. Let's revisit the U.S. women's soccer team and Megan Rapinoe, as this group actually sued the U.S. Soccer Federation over pay discrimination, a claim that was dismissed by a judge who pointed out the women were actually paid more in total and more per game than their male counterparts. The judge also noted the women were offered a similar pay-for-play agreement as the men, but they rejected it for a safer, and thus rightly so, less rewarding payment structure. They then chose to lie about being discriminated against as a way to retrospectively get compensated for their own bad business decision. And then sports fans had to hear about this lie in the media for years. Even worse, the U.S. women's team continued this lie and weaponized this false allegation via external media pressure to actually end up getting a multi-million dollar settlement payout from the U.S. Soccer Federation, who probably wanted to stop the incorrect bad press and just move on from the whole thing. Sports fans don't like liars, especially when the lie becomes clearly obvious. It's a huge reason people stopped liking Lance Armstrong, who was at one point at the pinnacle of US sports, proving that being disliked for lying is not a gendered issue. This leads into the final dislikable trait, which is trying to contrive a victimhood status as a way to gain forced sympathy. By doing this, they are attempting to shed any ounce of responsibility as to why they're not well-liked, why they don't have many fans, or why they don't get paid more. Again, Megan Rapinoe and her teammates cried victim that they were paid less because they were women, but in fact, they had the agency to choose the deal they wanted. Or let's take Brittany Griner and the WNBA, who put out statements saying the team had to nervously huddle in a corner of the airport after one person confronted Brittany about her being in a prisoner swap with the country America is fighting a proxy war with. And the other prisoner was an international arms dealer known as the Merchant of Death.
Rarely does the U.S. government want anyone more than it wanted this man. His name is Victor Boot, and he's known as the Merchant of Death.
And interestingly enough, research shows that people who more frequently signal their victimhood, whether real, exaggerated, or false, are more likely to lie and cheat for their own material gain. Also, victimhood signaling is associated with numerous morally undesirable personality traits. In other words, people don't like it. You know, one thing that makes people drawn to sports stars is their ability to overcome tough obstacles, not to complain about them. This is a reason why people hated Kevin Durant after he joined the Warriors, because after running into an obstacle, he didn't persevere through it. There's an old adage that sports is a microcosm of society and mirrors life. So if a sports fan doesn't like an athlete, it's probably for the same reasons they wouldn't like the everyday person on the street. And the majority of people don't like those who act entitled, arrogant, lack common sense, or pretend to be victims. Anyway, thanks for watching. Until next time, guys.